Ching, ching, bling, bling. Let's cut the chatter. Today we are stepping out of the social media madness. Welcome to the Tucci Talks Wealth, Health, and Everything Else podcast. I'm your host, David Tucci, an educator, a father of three. Join me as I take you on a funky journey through life, from a reckless young man to a humbled older man. Each week, I will offer different insights on my life experiences and the experiences of others and how that has shaped our present day realities. So let's begin our funky journey into improving our health, wealth, and you guessed it, everything else. It's Monday. Tucci Talks, baby. Tucci Talks, baby. All right, stop. Collaborate and listen. Tucci's back with a brand new episode. Something grabs a hold of him tightly. Flow like a harpoon daily and nightly. Will he ever stop? Yo, I don't know. Turn out the light and let's start this show. Welcome to episode 23 of Tucci Talks Wealth, Health, and Everything Else. That crazy karaoke brings me back to the time when I wore my MC Hammer pants. I love those pants. I elevated my dance moves tenfold when I wore those pants. If you know the crazy karaoke, please email me, david@TucciTalks75.com, or get in touch with me via social media at TucciTalks75. My boy Craig from Brampton keeps the shout-out streak alive, getting a second shout-out here on Tucci Talks with Mamma Mia. I really appreciate his constructive feedback. I actually appreciate all the feedback from the listeners. So keep listening, keep subscribing, and hopefully we can continue with the positive content. Let's take a look back to last week and find out what I learned. What did I learn from having Asari on the podcast last week? He had the courage to step up in a playoff game because he believed that if he failed, his brothers would be right there to pick him up. It got me thinking, how much more bravery would we have with the right alliances? How great would it be to have the right team of people giving us the tools we need to persevere and succeed? We are more likely to put ourselves out there knowing we have the support in case we fail. I spent this past weekend doing 4 Zoom calls with people interested in buying Bitcoin. But they want me there to guide them in case they stumble. And at least until they slowly learn, they have that support group there to take on an endeavor that's very uncomfortable. Because that's what it takes to persevere. It takes the right team, the right people. Asari continues to surround himself with the right people today. And that is why he continues to persevere. Way to go, my brother. On to today. My next guest is a brand marketing consultant. She has 15 years in the fashion industry, hence why I look impeccable when I go to events. I definitely give her all the credit. She is a fashion stylist who worked for Drake, Nelly Furtado. She has been involved with many commercials, the TV show Lookalike. She was a former social media manager for Forever 21. And the founder of House of Marpa sustainable fashion brand. She is also my beautiful sister-in-law. So without further ado, Tucci Talks would like to welcome Janelle Marpa. Me and you, we're holding back each other and the things we do, it's all so blue. Yeah, what if we could grow just like the flowers through the concrete? So welcome to Tucci Talks and thanks for coming on the show today. How are you feeling?
No problem. Good. How are you?
I'm good. This is such an important topic for many as we've moved into this digital age. And would you agree the pandemic has expedited that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we're home now more. We're in our own spaces. We have our devices right in front of us, and it can get boring. So we will look to our phones and look to social media to kind of fill that void.
And everyone's online now, and Wi-Fi is like water. One of my colleagues had their Wi-Fi go out this week, and their household became a disaster. Which he said it was a disaster, which tells me that the internet is an essential service. Do you think internet service should be a human right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, especially with, school moving to an online platform, that should be made accessible to everyone at any income. There's gatekeeping on the level of, Wi-Fi or bit bandwidth that you can get at a
Right.
certain price. It should be made available to everyone.
And I have to admit, Janelle, I love it. I love the internet. I feel so productive with my phone. You know me, cryptocurrency is a huge part of my life. And if it's not for the internet, it wouldn't exist. So as an aside, I think we are kind of kept in the dark with respect to crypto sovereign power. Instead, people are really instead of taking advantage of the internet, most are getting, quote, sick, unquote, on social media. So having said that, I titled this episode Stepping Out of the Social Media Madness. Now, you were born into analog when you grew up, and you adapted to digital technology. What's your view on the digital age and its effects on our society?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I grew up in analog, so dial up TV, dial up everything. And then when I was in elementary school, that's when the internet started popping off. And that made it That like was like a huge game changer. And it really it made it easier to make friends, find your community. I was on one of the first social media platforms out there.
What was it called?
I was on Asian Avenue. So it was kind of like MySpace, but it was really like you found your community with other Asian people. And I found a lot of my friends through Asian
Yeah,
Avenue, and
I
I'm
bet.
still friends with a lot of them today.
Yeah, I bet when you said MySpace, people are like, ah, I remember that. I had that. I
Yeah,
was
for
on
sure.
that.
Yeah, well, Asian Avenue popped off in like 1998. So I was like 15 years old when that came around.
And
And
was it
that's kind
huge?
of,
Was it
yeah,
mass?
it was huge amongst like Asian people for sure.
Right.
Like
Yeah.
everyone I knew that was Asian was on Asian Avenue. And
That's
like people who
awesome.
were friends with Asians were on Asian Avenue. And then it stemmed off into Black Planet and then Mi Gente, which was the Latino site. And then
Right.
eventually, it became MySpace, and then from MySpace it went to Friendster, and then eventually to Facebook, and now
Right.
Instagram, and then TikTok. It's like a whole evolution of platform of people trying to consume content at different forms.
Yeah. So when did social media start to change?
I would say like around the time, when influencer marketing kind of took over, like
So hold
social.
on, just so I can understand too. When you first got on, it was more of just connecting with friends.
Yeah, it was community, it was creativity, self-expression. Like for me, that's how I got into graphic design because like I was designing web pages on Asian Avenue and MySpace for my friends,
Amazing.
for myself.
Yeah,
So
yeah.
yeah, it was a creative outlet in finding being able to find your community and find like-minded people and make friends easier that way as well.
So I know it's still supposed to be like that, but
Yes, yeah.
it feels like it's not. And that's why I wanted to say, like, when did this social media start to change?
Yeah, I would say like social media changed once marketers got their hands on it and saw the potential there to really use word of mouth through social media platforms. So I would say like I started using social media for a brand like well into like 2013. That's when Instagram started to pop off. And you know, that started, you know, influencer marketing was kind of born there. And that's what kind of ruined social media integrity there, because, you know, people were, you know, looking towards their celebrities at the products that they're using and wanting to use it as well. And then once other influencers who created a brand for themselves were like hawking products, it became kind of unclear as to whether or not it was a genuine promotion or if they were being paid. So then it kind of changed. Yeah, the landscape kind of changed. So then people started having to, you know, add to their posts that it was a paid ad, because, you know,
that makes a difference, right?
You lose the trust. Yeah.
So does people now, everybody knows who are these influencers are.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Does it matter? Does it even matter?
To an extent, like you want to believe that the influencer is only agreeing to that placement because that is a product that they would actually use. But there are some out there who are just looking to make a dollar that are going to hawk you something that you don't necessarily need.
Which is our society. We're buying stuff that we're consuming like crazy that we don't even need.
Yeah. And then with us being at home in the pandemic, you know, that, you know, serotonin or that you know, endorphins of buying something to make you feel better, that retail therapy, you're really kind of preying on people's, you know, vulnerabilities right now. So
yeah. And didn't Instagram add like some button, shopping button or something?
Yeah. So they've changed the placement of things in Instagram. And that's been kind of like a big uproar amongst content creators and, you know, regular users, because they've changed the positioning of where the likes button is so that you can see like, who's liked your photos and whatnot. And switched it out for the shop button, and then in the same placement where the likes are, and then switched out your you know, sharing button to upload your content with like the reels. So they're preying on your muscle memory to kind of, you know, prioritize and reframe and reprogram you to shop on Instagram.
So what happens when you press the shop button? It just takes you to like a cart where you
it takes you to like a kind of like a little like online mall, like a pocket mall. It's like all the brands that you follow, and then you're able to see like everything that you can buy from all the people that you follow.
This must work. Why would they do it?
Yeah, for as a marketer, like I work in social media marketing, and you know, as a marketer, I think it's fantastic, but in terms of being a user, it's not that great.
Right.
It's kind of slimy in a way.
Right. And that's why I'm saying, so like when it was its genesis, it was more about this idea of creating, making friends, giving people a platform. Now to me, what it sounds like is just business.
Yes. Now it's become a capitalist tool.
Yeah. So how might social media harm people's mental health?
You know, there's, you know, with, you know, social media and being that accessible, and you get a sense of instant gratification, you know, from shopping, you know, using social networks, like many people can feel more connected, feel in their self-expression, but then others can experience intense envy and, you know, have greater struggles with depression and low self-worth and other mental challenges from like looking at, you know, people only really like to share the good stuff that's on social media. And then there's, you know, problems with, you know, sleep. People like to doom scroll late at night, and then that causes like anxiety.
Hold on, what's doom scrolling?
So doom scrolling is when you are just like scrolling through the news and just reading bad news after bad news. Like,
oh, okay.
Obviously, like with the elections and everything happening with Black Lives Matter, you know, scrolling through all of that content can, you know, trigger a lot of anxious feelings within you, and that
no doubt.
You know, it taps into your fight or flight, and you know, you just want to keep scrolling through and get more angry. And like,
you sound like you've doom scrolled.
Oh yeah, for sure.
I could hear it. I'm like, oh, the way you're describing yeah. it.
And then once you notice it, it's like, oh my God, it's like, okay, you need to chill.
Yeah.
It's really kind of affecting you. Your anxiety's pretty high right now, reading all of this bad information. Yeah,
I'm guessing it could permeate into like real life. It affects your relationships with people that you might be close with.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's a mood affector. It will change your mood, and, you know, for the good or for the bad. And, you know, as much as there is good, there is a lot of bad as well. Like, you know, like cyberbullying, you know, body image issues, you know, it's all about, you know, taking notice of all of those little triggers and kind of, you know, realizing that at that moment you need to kind of take a step back, put your phone down.
So I want to ask you this then, because you're an adult, I'm an educator of teens. Mm-hmm. Okay. Is it the same impact, or are teens affected more? I always see them on social media, and there's a lot of teachers that listen to this podcast. Mm-hmm. They would agree. These kids are always on social media for that dopamine hit.
Yeah, because and there's a problem with it too, because, you know, you're at an age where you're trying to develop your own critical thinking. And if you slip into the wrong hole in the algorithm, like it's kind of hard to kind of dig yourself out of it. And, you know, it can, and there's a lot of FOMO, you know, and you're watching your friends in high school who are out partying, and you didn't get invited to that party. Like, that's going to cause you a lot of anxiety and depression, and, you know.
But we all agree that that's not going to change. They're going to be on social media. So what are some mindful practices then, mm-hmm. when engaging with social media, that not only adults, teens, but everybody's who's engaging in social media, what are some practices they can have to help?
I just think it's important to kind of, you know, set your intention before you begin, or before you get on social media. Just take a breath, you know, remind yourself that your goal is to have a positive experience, wanting to connect, you know, remind yourself to stay present.
So here's the thing, you're saying that, mm-hmm. and I don't really use social media, but if I go online, if I'm a teenager or an adult for that matter, and I know you're saying it's education, but do you think I'm really thinking that, what you just said?
No, but that's what, you know, that's kind of how you have to reprogram yourself, recondition your relationship with social media, have the awareness that, you know, okay, every time I go on, I don't feel so great every time I go on to Instagram.
Right.
You know, I want to be on Instagram because I want to stay connected, but there has to be a healthier way to kind of, you know, interact with these
apps. So I kind of interrupted you, so share some, what are some helpful tips then?
For sure, like if there are things that upset you or trigger some sort of negative emotion in you, like unfollow those people, you know, that, and unfollow the people that regularly complain. You know, there's little things that you can do on if you're someone who is a creator, there's certain platforms where you can filter out certain words so that they don't show up on your timeline, delete things, like, you know, this will make a world of difference if you end up scrolling unconsciously, because you're unconsciously consuming content that wasn't good for you.
So let's say I'm not good at that. Can I do stuff on my phone to set things to like help me?
Yeah, for sure. So there's like, you know, physical things that you can do as well. So it's like, you can keep your phone on a schedule. So I have my phone on do not disturb from like 10 p.m. till 7 a.m. It shuts off all of my apps so that I'm not able to use it until the next morning.
Oh, so if you do the do not disturb, like what, you don't get any notifications?
Yeah, no notifications. I have like my favorites list of people who can get through to me, but for the most part, I can't get any other notifications.
Yeah.
On the regular, I turn off all my notifications, the little badges, like all those things. You don't need those.
I'm not doing that,
they're
Janelle.
Just distractions. Yeah.
Not me. I get Bing. Bitcoin just increased 10%. It is now at 18 grand. I'm like, let's go.
Yeah. Yeah.
See? I can't, I want to keep it on.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. It's that hit of dopamine that you're getting from it. So, you know, and transversely, it's like if it goes the wrong way, then you're going to upset yourself. So you're kind of putting yourself through a roller coaster.
I'm trained. You know me. I've been in Bitcoin since 2014. So I expect ups and downs. I get excited when I get those notifications. And if it's down, I'm like, no problem. But that's the training element that you talk about. And I don't think teenagers are capable of doing that. That's why I think it's up to us as adults to kind of guide and instruct and help them.
Mm-hmm.
Their brains aren't developed.
No. And they want that. They need that instant gratification. They need to feel like, especially if you're a parent, there's a disconnect between your kid and as a parent, and they're going to turn to their phone to look for other people who are experiencing the same thing as you.
Absolutely.
And, you know, they're going to look to their phone, and you know, that's how sometimes maybe people get wrapped up in the wrong crowd, you know? So having that conversation with kids about social media and having, you know, an open, you know, communication about, you know, no judgment, you know, you can come to me for anything, that will put them off from running to other people, you know, finding their own tribe and getting wrapped up in bad stuff.
Yeah. I actually have a tip being a phys ed teacher, and I see kids. So if you're a parent listening and you see your teen at home, and they're always, the cervical spine is like on an angle now. The heads are down all the time. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
So
they call it tech neck.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I see tech neck all the time. And I tell the kids, so it's called a cactus pose in yoga. You go basically, your elbows are 90 degree and you're making like L's. And you're engaging your back like you're holding a pencil. Mm-hmm. And then you straighten your neck. Just activates the rhomboid muscles. It's just a way for kids to even take a moment, just a moment, so you don't keep getting that tech neck. And I do that now with my grade nines in my phys ed class. We do yoga, and it's great for mood. So I want to ask you, what are some other mood stabilizing activities that people can practice away from their phone? even if it's just like I said, for me, it was just a tip. You all right?
Mm-hmm.
It's just a tip like I give them when I see that tech neck. Thanks for teaching me that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there are four major chemicals in your brain that influence your happiness. An easy way to remember it is DOSE. So it's dopamine, oxytocin, serotonin, endorphins. So serotonin is your mood stabilizer.
That's cool. DOSE.
DOSE, yeah. Dopamine is your reward chemical.
Yeah.
Oxytocin is the love hormone. Endorphins are the painkiller. So different tasks that you can kind of hack your happiness chemicals away from your phone would be like, you know, for dopamine, it would be like completing a task. So, you know, organizing that desk that you that with piles of paper that have been piling up, like you feel a sense of accomplishment, you know, getting enough sleep, celebrating a win, oxytocin, you know, playing with an animal. You're going to get that little dose of oxytocin there, random acts of kindness, hugging a loved one, giving a compliment. Other serotonin things you can do is to stabilize your mood, is to you know, meditate, go for a walk in nature, go out and get some sun. Endorphins, you know, it's your painkiller. So laughter is the best medicine. So watch a funny movie, dark chocolate, exercise, massage, anything to kind of, you know, get your body moving, dancing. Those are some great things that you can do to kind of fill that void of, you know, those happiness chemicals that you get from your phone.
Speaking of dancing, have you heard about the Basement Gang?
No, what's that?
They went to Xavier. There are these three kids, and I'm trying to get them on the podcast, but because of the pandemic and people's moods, they created these dances. It's pretty cool. All you have to do, they were on breakfast television, CBC, because they're getting like million hits, and they just dance. Mm. So it's one of the elements you were talking about what they could do to be away from the phone, not always be on your phone.
Yeah, because another fun little tip is that, like, you know, emotions, anything that is stagnant or stuck in your body, emotions are essentially just energy in motion. So if you have anxiety or depression or anything that's stuck inside of your body, you just need to move it out. So dancing and, like, just move the energy around in your body so it's not stuck and feeling kind of heavy on you all the time.
So let's say me, I'm at home, I'm in this pandemic, I'm depressed. I just have to remind myself to just do something fun, movement wise. That's basically what you're saying.
Yeah.
But it's hard for people. Like, we know these things. We do. We just don't do them enough.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you have to set the intention that, you know, this is something that you need to do to take care of yourself. It's about balance, you know. That's something that I'm constantly working on all the time. Like, I know, like, I am in the middle of doom scrolling and I'm like, I am doom scrolling right now. I'm like, I need to stop, you know. So it's just awareness is the first thing, and noticing what kind of emotions or any sensations that come up as you're doing them, noticing them, that's the first step into kind of, you know, reprogramming the way you interact with social media.
And I like the way you said set the intention. Mm-hmm. I think if we prepare our minds, I think we're more likely to follow through.
Yeah. And also, you'll become more aware of when someone's being disingenuous with their content, you know?
Absolutely.
It's, yeah.
Absolutely. Anyway, you gave a lot of value here, and I appreciate it. So to wind down, I always play a game with my guests and for my Guess What segment. Mm-hmm. So what I want to do with you is last week I did the same game with my guest. I played the $100,000 pyramid. Are you familiar with that game?
Yeah, I think so.
So basically, we're going to focus on social media influencers.
Okay.
Okay. You're going to have 2 minutes on the clock, and you're going to get six. Try to get six.
Okay.
And I will. So my guest last week didn't get it. So I was offering him a micro Bitcoin. I will send it to you if you have. Don't you have Litecoin or something? I know you have some, a little bit of crypto.
I can't remember which one I have. I got my cousin to set it up
for me. Yeah. I will send you a little bit.
Okay.
All right. So this is what we're playing for. The topic is famous social media influencers. I will put 2 minutes on the clock, and then I will give the clues. If you feel like you don't know it, you could pass, and then we'll go back to it when you get the rest of them. Does that make sense? All right, here we go.
Yes.
What?
Mega Juventus soccer star. Your oldest nephew is named after him.
Oh, Cristiano Ronaldo.
Correct. She has a makeup empire. She flaunts her modeling socialite status. Her dad transitioned to female.
Oh, Kylie Jenner.
Correct. Award-winning singer, female, dated Justin Bieber.
Selena Gomez?
Correct. He has 21 million IG followers. He made a name on Vine and YouTube. He has a Netflix show. His name is in the show. Two words in the title. The first word, when you play tag and you are it, you are doing what to the person?
Tag?
When you play tag, when you're running around. And you gotta, what are you doing? And they're running, you're following.
Pause. Last week, you mocked Asari for being terrible at guessing. Well, this week, Mr. Tucci, your clues absolutely suck. Your clues suck. They suck. Poor Janelle, for having you as a clue giver. You suck.
Chase.
Yeah, that's his that's the first title of his show. It's a big city in Texas. The home
Chase
of the football
Houston?
Football team, Cowboys. I'm giving you clues to get his name.
No, I don't know him, Skip.
Okay, pass. Australian personal trainer, entrepreneur with about 10 million followers. Time magazine named her the top 30 most influential people on the internet. Part of
is it like Tiana or something or
name? Okay, yeah. In her name, it's the name of a jewelry store. Every kiss begins with
K. Oh, K into Ness. I can't.
Yes, that's correct. That's good.
Okay.
internet personality and filmmaker who found fame through his vlogs and other videos. He has 21 million followers. It's a famous Saved by the Bell character.
Famous Saved by the Bell character.
Zach Morris. I was going to say peace in chess that must be captured to win the game. Zach King. I don't know these guys.
Oh, Zach King.
I don't know these people. I was just trying to give you the clues.
Yeah. Most of them were like celebrities.
Were they? I don't know. I just looked up... most the best influencers and that's what came up. So, maybe you know what we got, but I'm surprised you got the Kayla Itsinis or whatever her name is. Cameron Dallas is what I was going. It was called Chasing Cameron, the Netflix show.
Oh yeah, no idea who he is.
Okay, so then it would be hard. I don't even know how to give the clues.
Brutality.
That's what the listeners thought about your clues.
Do you have any book recommendations for people about this social media craze and how they can help themselves? I mean, you gave a lot of valuable information. I'm just saying, kind of get it into a succinct space and I'll post it on the website.
Yeah, I think one of my favorite books about, you know, digital wellness is a book by Rohan Gunutilake. It's Modern Mindfulness. I probably butchered his name, but it's a really great book about, you know, how to be more mindful in the digital fast world, as well as The Craving Mind by Judson Brewer. So that one just talks in general about addictions and kind of briefly talks on social media addictions. And then there's The Real Life, or From Real Life to Cyberspace and Back Again. So it's by Toby B. Goldfuss. So yeah, those are some great little books that have some tips and kind of insights on how to kind of mindfully consume or live more mindfully in a digital world.
Okay. All right.
Excellent.
Woo! And it's up to us. We got to do the work.
Mm-hmm.
If we're not willing to do the work and struggle through, that's a huge theme on this podcast about struggle. The Stoics say amor fati, the struggle is the way.
Mm-hmm.
We got to put the work in.
Yeah. Yeah. And awareness is like the first one, is the first step to anything.
Yeah, or else if you don't, like I said in one of the episodes, you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah, and you can't change what you don't know.
and you can't change what you don't know. Mm-hmm. Amazing. Thanks for coming on Tucci Talks today. I appreciate it.
No problem.
And I'll make as a consolation prize for you, I'm going to make a phenomenal Christmas meal.
Oh, awesome.
For the family.
Awesome. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Janelle.
All right. Thanks.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
I'm not sure about you, but I thought Janelle was short and sweet and to the point. Perhaps some parents out there listening, be that guide for your children. For the teens out there, take a moment, set your intention so you're not taken on a wild ride by the wave of social media. And the working adults, stop buying stuff you can't afford to impress people you don't care about. Look inward. You are definitely enough. Spend less, invest the rest, build a better future for you and your family. And as for next week, Tucci Talks will be honoring and promoting the White Ribbon Campaign. The topic will be violence against women. I have a professor from Laurentian who has co-authored a book on this topic. I hope I'm ready to deal with what is to come. That's the point of Tucci Talks. We try to create the safe space needed to say what needs to be said freely, and then let the listeners discuss in their own safe households. So please subscribe to the podcast. It really is awesome to see the listener base grow organically. It makes the time spent worthwhile. So that's it for me today. Thanks to everybody for tuning in. Don't forget the crazy karaoke. I put a lot of effort into that song. Enjoy the rest of the week. Happy Thanksgiving to our American friends. Please stay safe. And never, ever forget to add, you got it, a little funk to your day.